Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Maggie. Good day, Mark. How are you?
Doing great.
We are going to talk about loop diuretics today. We're going to look at a study, this time from the New England Journal of Medicine. It's a pretty robust study, I think. Asks an important clinical question, which is, what's the optimal use of loop diuretics in the treatment of acute decompensated heart failure? Clearly, heart failure, a major problem, major cause of hospitalization. If there are things that we can do to maximize the treatment of our patients, both to decrease their hospitalization, or perhaps once they are hospitalized, to get them home sooner, that would be very much appreciated. What did the authors of this New England Journal of Medicine study find, Mark?
Yeah, this was a pretty big study on something that we've been doing sort of by the seat of our pants for a long time, and asked two really important questions. So this was what we call a Latin square design. That means you're doing essentially two comparisons at once. And they took people with chronic heart failure. All of them were taking between 80 and 240 milligrams of Lasix or the equivalent per day for at least a month. They came in acute decompensated heart failure, and they took 308 patients, and they randomized them to either a low-dose strategy, which was the total IV dose was equal to their total daily oral dose, or a high-dose strategy, which was 2.5 times their oral dose. So if someone was taking 80 milligrams, the low-dose group got 80, the high-dose group got 200 milligrams. So each group was then also stratified to either get it by IV bolus every 12 hours or by continuous infusion. So the theory is, I think a lot of doctors operate under the principle that more is better, so the higher, they always increase the dose when someone comes in. And then they also put them on the infusion because that's thought to be better than these boluses. And there's another school of thought that says boluses are better. So after 48 hours, the doctor could continue the strategy or increase the dose or switch to open label, whatever they wanted to do. And then after 72 hours, everything was open label. The average age of the patients was about 66 years, and the average ejection fraction was 35%. Interestingly, they found no difference between the bolus and continuous infusion group. So whatever you want to do is fine. If the nurses would prefer that you're not doing an infusion, that we do bolus, that's fine. Seems to work just as well based on all of the key outcomes. They also compared the low dose and high dose. There was a non-significant trend toward better self-assessment of symptoms by the patients. They felt better. They reported feeling better with the high-dose diuretics. And there were also some improvements that were significant in dyspnea relief, total fluid loss, and weight change. The primary safety endpoint looking at creatinine level, high-dose furosemide did lead to more patients with an increase in creatinine, but it's not clear whether that was a long-term problem or would be a long-term problem or not. So basically, IV or bolus, it's the same. Trend toward improved outcomes if you increase the Lasix when someone's admitted with decompensated heart failure.
Excellent. So in terms of a practice changer, is this significant? Does this add us, tell us something new that we didn't know before?
Well, I guess it depends what you were doing before. But I think for a lot of folks it may be because, and there are sort of local and regional schools of thought. And in, one training program, everyone gets taught to use bolus. And everyone, another one, it's IV infusion. And I think we now know it doesn't really matter. Both work, and whatever's most convenient and cheapest is probably what we ought to do. And I think I think most physicians increase the dose of the diuretic when someone gets admitted with decompensated heart failure. And there are at least some secondary endpoint outcomes that are improved, keeping in mind that the creatinine is a little more likely to bump, and we got to watch that in these patients.
So, Mark, this obviously the authors used furosemide. The question is, how extrapolatable do you think this is to other agents? Is it the class effect or is it the specific drug effect?
Well, they don't really comment on that. I mean, I would think it's probably, if as long as we're using the appropriate equivalents, and, they could use Bumex as well as, or torsemide as well as the furosemide. They basically consider 20 milligrams of torsemide, 1 milligram of bumetanide or Bumex equal to 40 milligrams of furosemide. So, you know, those were all options, and I think they're, you know, considered equivalent.
Thanks, Mark. Interesting topic. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Great talking to you, Mike.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.